Hey guys, happy new year. Welcome back to another episode. Today I'm on the floor with Jason and John of J Bros.
What's up?
What's up, everyone?
So if you guys aren't familiar with the J Bros, they actually have a YouTube channel. If you guys want to kind of introduce what kind of content you post.
What's up, guys? My name is Dr. John Yu. I'm a pediatric dentist in New York City. And this is my best friend here. Very single, Jason.
Very single, but very good looking.
Oh,
if you're curious.
I love this confident good 2021 energy.
Good thing this is a podcast.
But if you're really curious, you should go to our YouTube channel.
Oh, nice pitch.
Find out if I'm telling the truth or not.
Very cool. Jason's an engineer. He's finishing up his PhD right now. He's got a startup as well. So what do we talk about on our channel?
Yeah, what kind of content do you guys post?
So in a nutshell, our content is about being in our 30s or close to it. And being single and living in New York City as two Korean-American sort of professionals.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, some of the struggles that we face, and that can include relationships, social life, anything that we find that people might relate to, we try to be very transparent.
My question is, you guys both have full-time jobs, so like, how did you guys transition into YouTube though? Or like, how are you guys, you know, balancing both?
So we started this channel about 2 years ago when I was in my pediatric dental residency. Jason was deep into his PhD. We got close through partying in K-Town. No shame in the game.
That's the best way to get close to people, honestly.
I'm proud.
Yes. No regrets there.
Yeah.
But then we started seeing how our time was being used on the weekends. Mm. And we thought, is there something that we're both passionate about that we can do together, but have, but make it a little bit longer lasting or more fulfilling? And we started covering music. We started trying different things like vlogging about our day-to-day life. And then from there, we set aside a good chunk of time. Mm-hmm. We tried to prioritize this creative outlet because we thought having this would allow us to channel our energy just beyond the 9-to-5, channel the energy into something useful, something valuable. And we haven't looked back since.
Wait, so then before you guys started, did you already have that like big picture in mind? Like, okay, this is what I want to offer? Because like for me, the podcast, like obviously it was a way for me to exercise my creativity and create content, but also we were in quarantine and I wanted to do something productive, kind of like you guys. Like I didn't want to waste my time. And so that's why I invested so much time and energy into this. Mm-hmm. And that's how it kind of started.
Yeah.
So I didn't really have like a big purpose/picture in mind, but I think as it grew and it took off, that's when I started thinking about it more. Because like before when I started it, it was more for myself, but now like there are just so many other people involved invested that I have to kind of take that into account. I don't know if that is for you guys too.
No, I've listened to your podcast.
Mm-mm.
And I think it's awesome that you are like you said, you're incorporating what audience want to hear about. You have these questions that you post on Insta, and people have career questions, and you're like an onion to them, right? And I think that's cool that in the same way that you're now catering to an audience's interest and trying to provide value.
Right.
I think that's ultimately our goal too. Mm-hmm. The value can be in entertainment. Yes, that's valuable. But two, providing substantial advice on things that you've been through that might be useful to someone 10 years younger than you. Mm-hmm. And that's so cool that we can, you know, not to say that we're experts in any realm, but like to talk about this openly too, people start having discussions and it's awesome that the audience can learn a few things here and there.
I never want to come off as someone who has all the answers. Like that's not what this podcast is for. That's why I don't like to say like I don't like to give advice per se or like tips. Like I'll speak on my experience and tell you what I learned and like how I got through certain things or like how I approach certain situations. And then if you can take something away from it, then like, you know, that's great. Like I feel like it's just about offering my perspective, and then hopefully that kind of challenges someone else to like think a different way, or like they'll think, or maybe they'll agree with it and like find it relevant or something.
I listened to your podcast as well, and and I listen to the things that you say, I'm like, oh, Esther has a lot of depth.
Like really?
She definitely a thinker.
She thinks from a bigger picture. Like, she doesn't just generalize. She tries to be multiple
perspectives.
Mm-hmm. Have multiple perspectives. Mm-hmm. Yeah, not be so provincial.
Yeah. Mm. And I like also, and you mentioned this, I like that you're not trying to say, hey guys, this is a how-to guide on how to navigate your 20s. Mm-hmm. It's more like you're open about what you're going through, what you have gone through, and then people interpret from your experiences what they can gain from it or what they can avoid on the contrary. Yeah. So
I mean, that's kind of like what you guys try to do with your channel too, right? It's not like you guys are just sharing your experiences and your stories.
Exactly.
Right. And Jason's agenda is just to find a girlfriend as soon as possible. That's why so in a nutshell,
say that. Say that on a podcast. So
we're being very serious here and professional. In actuality, Jason made this channel.
Yeah.
I wanted to do it for a creative outlet. Jason wanted to find a girl.
And this is your dating profile, right?
Yeah, it's been working. We got the reach that Jason was talking about.
Wow.
I'm not going to fully deny what John's saying. Yes, part of it is that, you know, as a single guy, having a greater reach gives you, you know,
greater DMs.
Opportunities.
Yes.
Wait, how is dating for two single guys in New York?
Just sheer numbers wise, blessed. We're blessed in terms of being the resources, the opportunity to meet people.
Mm.
When I say resources, it sounds kind of bad. It's not like as in you can walk outside and you can meet someone at a bar. You can go to a networking event hosted by your alma mater, and it's probably like at most 15-minute cab ride from you. New York's got these special organizations for anyone who's got special interests.
Mm-hmm.
And there are people who come for a weekend here to party and meet people. So for us to live in the heart of Koreatown, I'm 29, Jason's 30, we're so blessed. Every morning I wake up, I'm like, holy crap, I'm in K-Town right now. I think people have this, a lot of my friends also are like, it's so hard to date in New York City because there's so many people, it's so easy for people to look at relationships as transient. They don't mean as much. If there's a high turnover, then so what? I'll meet another 5 people next week.
Mm-hmm.
Or on dating apps, you literally have one mile radius. You can meet or match 1,000 people.
Mm.
So,
damn, 1,000?
Not...
Wow.
He's being literal here.
No, wait. I'm not even on dating apps.
I'm a figurative numbers here. But you don't need to speak.
Yeah, what do you think, Esther? This is from a girl's perspective. Maybe it's different.
I actually personally think it's harder in New York. I think it's harder to meet people.
Harder to meet people, really?
Yeah.
Why is that?
Or I guess my experience is a little different because it's only been a year since I moved to New York, and most of it was spent in lockdown, so I don't get the chance to meet people.
Wait, when did you move here exactly?
August of 2019.
Oh, I see. So you had that only 5 months period until
exactly.
And this is post school, right?
Yeah.
So
right.
you're not going out as much, presumably.
Exactly. Because in college, you're just meeting people left and right. And like, even at work, you're meeting different people. But I guess it's also different for me because it's 90% female. So it's not like I would ever meet people at work either. Or I guess it's like that for you too. You're probably all male. Yeah.
Engineering.
Yeah.
Maybe it was harder for you to meet people in the city, not because it was even the city, but if you were somewhere else too, this is a point in your life where you're not going out as much. You're focused on your career probably more than when you were in college. So I think this is a relatable topic for like mid-20s, 30s people, like meeting people randomly, like outside. You don't do that as often.
But I will say, I was on a dating app in New York and in LA. In LA, it was harder to match with people because I already knew so many. Or like, they were friends of friends. Or like, I've heard of them before. So I didn't want to obviously match with them or like them because it was just too close to home.
I see.
But then in New York, like, everyone was new. So it didn't matter to me.
I see.
Like, who... Yeah, like, I didn't know any of them.
In LA, supposedly, everyone knows each other.
Yeah, like, everyone kind of knows each other.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that... I guess in that sense, it did seem like the pool had gotten a lot bigger when I first moved. Yeah.
I guess the city, it's like there's bigger dating pool.
Yeah.
Much bigger dating pool. And it's very transient.
Mm.
But it's It depends on your purpose. If you're looking for something serious, it may be harder in the city.
Ah, that's a good point.
Just simply point. Because of like people are very transient. And
Let's just say that there are more hookups.
Well, no. Right? I think like people's mentality is different. Like from suburbia and like in big city like New York City.
Do you guys use dating apps or not?
We used to. And then I've been off of it for at least 2 years now.
Mm. Same.
How do you guys try to meet people then? Like, what do you... Do you guys have, actually... Do you have moves? Do you hit on people ever?
I actually made a video about this.
You did?
Yeah.
We're very proactive.
Yeah.
Oh.
Not just with girls. I think, like, when we want us... When we pursue something, we're... Mm. I'm the type to regret more not doing something.
Yeah.
So I'll, like, beat myself up if I see, like, a really cute girl at a cafe. Mm. And then I'm, like, making all these excuses in my head. Oh, she's busy. I don't want to bother her.
Right.
And then I'll go home and be like, damn,
such a missed opportunity.
Yeah. So because I've had those experiences and because there have been some good outcomes from that as well, like meeting quality. It doesn't have to be, it doesn't have to be your girlfriend, but it was cool. Like I got to meet some really interesting people in the city, just sitting next to them at a cafe. Like, hey, what are you working on? And she'd be like, oh, like I YouTube. I was like, oh my God, that's awesome. Wow. And that was before I started YouTube. She's like, told me a little bit about my film editing and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, in short, I think our perspective on finding girls, shoot your shot and just don't be creepy about it.
For sure.
What's like, but there's a very fine line between shooting your shot and coming off a certain way.
Oh, like aggressive.
No? Yeah. Like what weird. Do you,
I'm all about being upfront about your intention, but not to a point where it's like 부담, what's a 부담 in English?
Burdensome.
You know, you sit down somewhere, be like, hey, I noticed you, like, sitting here. And then it's kind of obvious. notice, blah, blah, blah. Means, like, from a guy to girl perspective.
That's your line?
Yeah. Or something like that. Something along those lines. Hey, I noticed you were sitting here.
Yeah.
I'm just curious what you're doing. And then if she's open to having a conversation, it's great. If she's not, she said, I'm busy. It's like, yeah, thank you for whatever. Let's move on.
Mm. I think so many people, especially in New York, we're so about our personal space and we want to respect everyone else's personal space too, which is important, but there's so much opportunity that we lose out on when we're not able to do that. So when you talk to strangers, you're like, so the person's so cool.
I
would have never known if I had never talked to this person before.
How do you think your guys's approach to dating changed though throughout the years? Has it always been like that? Like, were you guys always very upfront and straightforward with your intentions, or is it more like you know what you want and it's like what's there to lose?
Well, when I was younger, like I was a really shy, timid guy, so I never was upfront about my intentions. But I guess like coming out of college and I'm realizing that dating seems even worse.
It's really hard.
After college, it's like I have to change my entire perspective on like the approach, my whole like game, quote unquote.
Right.
In order to survive in the scene.
Survive.
So I rewired
survival of the fittest here.
My thought process, like completely like reading books and like stuff like that.
Yeah.
And why it's okay to approach people and be upfront about your intentions instead of just being like held back.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that takes a level of confidence too, which I think does kind of come with age. Because like if you're not very like secure with yourself, you're not going to go out of your way to like approach a stranger and be like, hey, I'm, you know, Esther.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Have you approached
a guy?
Yeah.
When I'm drunk.
Alcohol is a key.
Liquid courage.
Yes.
Well, how do you drop signs then? If you're not drunk and like you notice someone that you're really attracted to, do you just not approach? If you're sober at a cafe, for example. I always wonder how girls do that.
If I'm like at a cafe, honestly, I don't think I have the balls to do that.
Have you been in a situation where you notice someone that's like, oh, he's my type? Like, oh, he's yummy.
Well, I'm dating right now, so I don't think, you know, that's very, like, relevant to me now. But I don't... No, not really.
Not really, I see.
Mm-hmm. I'm not really...
You're not even in that mindset.
I'm not really even paying attention. I'm not, like, out looking.
Yeah.
I don't pay attention.
Yeah.
Is that representative of most girls?
But it doesn't have to be like a cafe. Maybe you're in a social situation.
Like with friends?
With friends, and you notice someone like, oh, like having a little dialogue here and there. Like, oh, shoot, this guy
But I'm also the type where if someone's a complete stranger, I'm a little more hesitant, just in general.
Yeah, yeah.
That's why I was very hesitant about even like joining a dating app. Because like if someone's a complete stranger, it is a little, I'm a little more guarded. Mm-hmm. But if it's in a social setting where we have mutual friends, it's a little different. Like obviously if I think someone's cute, I'll bring it up to my friend and or I'll like approach them. Yeah, I'll try to like be near them more, talk to them more. But I don't, I think that's most girls.
I see. Maybe. Yeah. Mm. But in a very subtle way. Girls do it in a very
but
subtle
way. But I have asked my guy friends a lot, like, what do you guys think about girls making the first move? Like, girls initiating. Are you like, damn, like, that's confidence? Or is it like, no, I want to be the one making the move on you. Like, if I like you, I'll approach you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think for most guys, if she's cute, it doesn't matter what she does. Like, she could be upfront or be shy. Yeah.
Mm.
But shy guys would appreciate that. Mm. Shy guys who wouldn't have the courage to actually make that first move would appreciate the girl who's making the first move herself.
This is like from a guy's perspective.
Uh-huh.
So like as guys who have approached girls, like complete strangers in the past, and we, you know, we try our best to do it respectfully or like tactfully. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be like dry, like, hey, I noticed you, let me get your number.
Yeah.
It could be witty too. It could be kind of funny if you can crack a smile.
Yeah.
But the worst is like maybe like one out of like 10 times.
Mm.
It makes it sound like I did a thousand times. Let me say 10% of the time.
Yeah.
Sometimes the girl will be so, like so snobby about
it. Yeah, yeah.
And like, excuse me, like I'm working, or like just be unnecessarily rude to try. I mean, she's trying to convey that she's not interested, but like, damn, like you don't need to go that far.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
But some girls in the city do that, and that almost like. I mean, I know where she might be coming from in that way, but some guys who have done it, they'll be like, dude, like, what a B. And then, like, they'll start to not do that anymore because of that experience.
But some girls can be just so shy.
Yeah.
They just don't know how to respond.
I see.
They might just, like, freeze in the spot, and then it seems like that's, like, an automatic rejection.
Oh, they have the guard up, like, they do at a bar, for example?
Yeah, even though she might think you think you're cute,
whatever. Auto-reply.
Mm. Yeah, she's, like, an automatic sort of... Like,
or she just doesn't know what to say.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
And then it comes up as, like, a straight-up rejection because she's not saying anything.
Oh.
Yo, but what about girls who are like, I'm not interested first, and then the guy keeps talking, and then they end up, like, getting warmed up, and then she's more open to it. What is that about? What is that about?
I do think persistence works in some cases.
For sure.
Yeah.
So if someone approached you at, I don't know, let's say Amazon bookstore, you're reading a book. You're minding your business.
Shout out to Amazon.
Amazon, please sponsor this.
I know, please sponsor.
Sponsor this podcast right now.
And then he's like decent in your eyes.
Right.
Let's say you're single.
Mm-hmm.
Are you open to meeting someone like that? If he came up to you and was like, hey, really like your style.
So like initially I'm attracted to them, right?
Or like neutral, like maybe a little bit more than neutral.
Like you're just attracted to the whole approach, like the way he came up to you.
I would be less likely to give my number and like go on a date if he just said, can I have your number? Like I would appreciate it more if it was more casual. Like he came up and we made conversation somehow, had a couple laughs, and then he's like, hey, like I'd love to like, you know, like hang out again sometime or like take you out, like can I get your number? Then I'd be like, oh yeah, sure.
Like an organic.
Yeah. I wouldn't want it to just be purely based on like looks, and then he comes up to you and he's like, Hey, I noticed you. Can I get your number?
No, I didn't say number. Jason. No, I said I noticed. It's what you're doing. I'm just asking her questions.
Right.
And then if she's open to having a dialogue.
Yeah, exactly. So I think the dialogue part is important. The same as like if you're at a club and someone's hitting on you, I think talking first, like going to the bar and like hanging out and then being like, can I get your number?
Mm-hmm.
That's definitely a lot more effective than just being like, hey, I think you're cute. Like, you want to go out?
Yeah. Because it's so superficial.
Yeah, because then it's just like, you don't know me. Like,
true.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, who knows how the date's going to go if we can't even have a conversation, like, in this first meeting.
Right.
Okay, so then do you guys have any funny wingman stories? Like, how far have you gone to wingman for each other? Because I've heard some guys, like, going, like, out of their way to help, like, a friend out.
Have a bro.
But the thing is, like... I think that you don't necessarily need the wing to do that much, right?
Hmm.
As long like if you can kind of take control of the situation and like you could talk to two people at once. You could address the friend at the same time. I've done that before.
Mm-hmm.
Like why do you have to only focus on the girl that you're interested in?
Mm-hmm.
Like why can't you have a good time with
that person?
So
it's like we just step in when we see a bro, it's like he's talking to a girl, mm-hmm. and then there are other girls that are not being attended to.
Uh-huh. That's courtesy.
We just step in to like
that's like keyboard.
Yeah,
like
yeah,
a
yeah.
Given,
right?
Yeah, yeah, true, true. And then you say good stuff about him in a subtle way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How does it work for wing women? Is there such
it's
a thing?
It's similar, I would say. I don't know, I'm trying to think. How does this work?
Was there a time that you were a wing woman?
Negative. Yeah. But I never went, like, it's very basic thing. Or it's not so much talking them up, but it's more... Actually, it's like I said, it's creating more of the space where we can all hang out and talk.
I see.
So that she can like show her true personality. Because I think I think a lot of, even myself included, like a lot of my friends, the issue that we have sometimes is when we are genuinely interested in a guy, we can't really show our true personality. It doesn't come out. And so I think a lot of guys like miss that.
I see.
And I think that's why sometimes guys and girls have different perspectives on like who they think is a good catch or like is attractive, because like a girl can be like, dude, this girl's like such a good catch, like we vouch for her all the time, but then a guy doesn't see her mid-yuck or like her what's attractive about her,
so you try to bring that up.
And so it's our job as a friend to like help bring that side out of her, because she feels comfortable with her girlfriends.
I see.
Yeah,
that's actually really good.
That's very considerate.
Yeah. Tactic.
You should do that more often, dude.
What do you mean?
I would have to really go out of my way.
But it's because, like, when you like someone, we want to, like, we're afraid to act too much of anything. So, like, too silly, too... It's like we know at the end of the day, you should be yourself because that's who they're going to be dating.
Right.
But it's still, like... I guess when the feelings are involved, it's like,
it's like when the nerve kicks in,
people
don't behave properly.
Because don't you guys feel like that, too? Like, as guys?
I guess when I was younger, for sure, I had that, like... That freeze. Oh shoot, this girl came in. Oh, should I act?
Yeah.
But now it's like, whatever. I don't care like if she likes me or not. I'm just going to be myself. And in a very like, in a good way. Yeah.
So you don't get butterflies anymore?
Oh, for sure I do get butterflies.
Oh, okay.
But regardless, I would be myself. But try to wrap it in a very positive way.
I think most people find that very hard to do though.
For sure.
Yeah. Being yourself.
If you get butterflies, it's like a symptom almost, right?
That is.
That this person is that much more valuable in your eyes.
Yeah.
So then you're like, crap, I don't wanna mess up.
Yeah.
And I think that's what we're talking about with the girls.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Not being able to be
themselves. If anything, at least for me, I think you gotta be even more intentional when you get that butterfly. Otherwise you're just gonna like shy away. Especially if you have that personality of being timid. So the opposite you should be doing, it's like instead of taking a step back, it's like, how can I be more intentional?
I think most people are more intentional, dude. But like,
some people are not.
To the point that they're like, oh my god, I can't believe I said that. Like they sent a stupid text message.
Yeah. Oh, I see.
So because they like that person, they want to like drop more cues, but they actually should sit back a little bit because they already dropped enough hints.
You know, see, that was another... perspective I was gonna say is we don't want to ever come off as too easy almost. We know the chase is fun and a lot of guys enjoy that.
Yeah.
A lot of girls too. But it's like if like how much is enough? Dropping those hints, you know?
Well,
it's like finding that balance. Yeah.
So I didn't mean it as like being overly fawning or trying to flatter the other person or being obvious. Like being more intentional in the interaction.
But you know, it's interesting because that's why I feel like the people that you're not necessarily into are the ones who end up liking you because they see your true personality.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I actually have a question. What is the most extra thing you've done to impress or get a girl?
Most extra?
I'm so curious.
Oh, man.
How, like, out of the way do guys go to, like, get a girl?
I think when I look back to, like, my early 20s was when I, like, bent over backwards to try to please... a girl that I liked, and I thought that was necessary.
Yeah.
And in some ways, it kind of is when you get older. Like you want to compromise. Mm-hmm. That's the word that people use, right?
Mm-hmm.
To make someone happy. You see that person happy, and you're like, you also get happiness from that. But this was like she was very much opposite of me in many ways. Mm. I liked going out to things. I'd rather go to a theme park with her than like stay in Barnes and Nobles. But I know she loved books. She's a huge bookworm. Oh. Which I thought was very attractive, the fact that she could stay home for like 12 hours and read. Mm-hmm. But when she was like, she's like, John, so like, do you read books? In my head, I was like, the only books that came to mind were like Holes and like, like my AP Lit class.
Yeah. Right.
And not that we read Holes in AP Lit, but I was like, I love books. So I was like, I love books. In fact, we should go to Borders bookstore. It's right down my house, right across my house. And she's like, okay, I love it. And so we spent like, I think I did like 10 dates in a row at Borders.
Whoa.
Yeah, 10 dates in a row.
Like because we were both in the same neighborhood. Mm. And
wait, this was in your
this was high like, school? This yeah, senior high school.
Oh, that's kind of cute. You get the pass.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, I get a pass.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then I did something similar in college too.
Oh,
but
you don't get a passport.
I don't.
Only if it's high school.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. But we would spend like, after school, we would go straight there to Borders, like read for like 7 hours.
Oh, that's cute.
All you did was reading.
That's literally all. We didn't do anything.
She was like literally,
I didn't
like,
get to kiss her.
You're literally like her like, pet.
Did you guys like sit on the floor where the books were? You know how they have aisles with the bookshelves and stuff? Or did you go to
the table? We went to the little, we did that occasionally because we thought that was like cute to do.
Yeah.
I mean, in high school, I guess you can do like all these cute things.
That's cutie love.
And like, I don't eat desserts either.
You ate mad desserts.
Yeah, like I was like, I tutored today, so I'll treat you. So I would like, I got like cookies and cake. And then she'd be like, oh, let me get you like something else too. I'm like, oh my God, I don't even want to eat this. Because I was all about gains at the time. Like, let me like get shredded and huge.
So, some chicken breasts.
So I would eat like the chocolate cookie, which is super fatty there, and I would like have to eat that every time that we meet. So I don't know.
Aww, it's that's like, really cute. That's relatable though.
Is it?
We all went through that when we were in high school.
Yeah.
Dude, that puppy love it makes you do anything for that person.
That's true.
Yeah.
I feel like I have to do more of that now. I feel like I don't do that enough now.
Do you think you compromise a lot of your own interests and like what you want to do for the girl?
I used to. And now I'm the other extreme.
And oh, I talk about
that
oh.
in the breakup, and part of the reason that didn't work out was that now I'm like so focused on
what I need to get done.
Right. So the time that I carve out is, for most people, probably is not like adequate. But maybe that just means that I didn't find the person that I'd be willing to do that for.
Oh, that's true.
I don't know. I don't really know how to think of that.
Because I guess a relationship is like meeting someone halfway.
Right. But then some people are like, but you don't even have to think about the right, time that you're carving out. You're going to want to do it.
Yeah, exactly. Right? Yeah. It shouldn't feel like a chore or like something you need to check off your to-do list. Like it should just come naturally and like...
You want to make time.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And it shouldn't feel like a sacrifice.
Right.
Hopping on here real quick, this episode is brought to you by BetterHelp, which is an online professional counseling service where you can connect with your own licensed therapist in a safe and private online environment. And if you're like me and you've been wanting to try therapy but just didn't really know how to go about looking for a therapist, BetterHelp actually makes it super convenient and easy. All you have to do is fill out a really quick survey so that they can assess your needs and they'll help you find a match. And then once you hear back, you can schedule weekly video or phone sessions directly on their site, and you can send a message to your counselor at any time. These counselors are specialized in so many different areas like depression, stress, anxiety, relationships, sleeping, family, etc. I actually had my first session yesterday, and obviously it was just the initial introductions, but I'm really excited and I'm hopeful. I'm going to continue using this service because there are so many different areas that I want to improve on. And if you guys are also interested, BetterHelp is offering you guys 10% off your first month. Just visit betterhelp.com/onthefloor and sign up.
Do you ever feel like, have your previous relationships ever felt like that, where you thought that you had to do more or you had to do less?
Not that I had to do more, but I definitely, in my first relationship, I definitely felt like I had to match my schedule and my future goals and dreams to his, because he wanted to be a doctor. And so everything, all the decisions I made, it was around that. Like, I was so young, but I thought I was going to marry this dude. We dated for like 7 years. And so I was like, oh, he's probably family at this point. We're going to get married. So it's like, his future is going to be my future too. So a lot of like the bigger decisions in life I did with him in mind.
That's 7 years. Wow. That's like high school.
We started dating in high school. We broke up when I was like 23.
Oh, that's a long.
Yeah.
Long puppy love.
Yeah, it was definitely, I think the time we dated in high school, it was like puppy love. I always say this, I felt like it was two different relationships.
Yeah, yeah.
Because we did have kind of a short break in the middle, mm-hmm. but the time we dated in high school and then the time we dated in college / adult years was, it was two completely different relationships. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like high school dating and adult dating is very different.
True.
Yeah. And like, you know more of what you're looking for too, as you're not dating just to date too. It's not like just emotion driven. It's more like thinking ahead, like, okay, what do I want in a lifelong partner?
Yeah.
And like, do I see them as that? Yeah.
Wait, why did it end?
Huh?
Why did it end?
It was because it was because we had dated since we were so young. Like, if you think about it, my prime, like, years of growing up, like, the time that I should have been learning more about myself and, like, building this identity of I have of myself was spent with this person. So that's all I knew. I wasn't my own person. I was just this person's girlfriend.
Yeah.
And I think when I graduated college, it started to hit me more and more. And so the thought of a breakup was more on my mind because I realized, like, there are so many things I want to do, so many things I still want to achieve, but I felt, like, very limited because I was tied down.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I wasn't tied down. Like, that was just, like, how I thought.
Mentally, you were.
Yeah.
So you were the one that broke it off.
Yeah.
You wanted to go on your own way and find yourself.
It was a very, like, selfish decision, but it's a decision that I always say I don't regret.
How does he feel now?
I don't know.
Oh, you haven't talked since?
No, never, no.
Oh, so that relationship after 7 years...
It didn't end in a bad way.
Mm-hmm.
We were very cordial. For a while, we did, like, kind of keep in touch here and there. But, like, he's dating, I'm dating. There's no reason to stay in each other's lives. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's respectful for the people we're with. And also, like, what's the point, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, there's no point.
Yeah.
Because, like, what do you guys think about staying friends with your ex?
I think if it ends well, you could. You're not, like, besties. But, like, you're still, like, social media friends.
Really?
I have a dialogue like once maybe a year or something. But
have you, good. But personally, you haven't kept in touch with any of your exes.
Yeah, I regret the bad breakups or just like complete break off. I wish I could still respect that person. I wish like I want to see it as like I respected that person as like a person enough to engage in a relationship to a point where like just because one relationship ended, like, that whole human-to-human interaction ends completely.
I used to think exes could be friends if the breakup wasn't bad, but my mind changed a lot after my most recent one. Just because I feel like if you guys weren't friends before you guys started dating, then all you guys know about each other is the romantic relationship you guys had. And so going from romantic to something completely platonic is so hard. You're basically going backwards, and that's very hard if you didn't already have that friendship before, if that makes sense. Like, if you guys were friends for a long time and then you guys started dating and it didn't work out, then maybe after, I still think you need to have a healthy amount of time before you guys try to be friends again. But I do think it maybe could be possible, but if you didn't, then it's very hard to like go back to being friends. Like, it's easy to fall into old habits, too.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I guess maybe I didn't mean it like being friends, as in like you're going to hang out. Being acquaintances. Being like in each other's sort of vicinity, like just from like even social media.
But then why do you want to? What's the point? No, yeah.
I don't know. It's like, I feel like the people that I met in the past, like good people, even if I was not dating them, to a point it's like, I wish I kept in touch just like, know about their whereabouts, like just once in a while, check in once like a year or something.
So yeah, I agree with you that could be, that could feel like a loss. You've invested so much time getting to know someone who also knows you in return so well.
Yeah.
But why do you need to know their whereabouts? Why do you need
to know? No, but it's because like I was with them because I respected this person and I got something from them in terms of like I learned something. It's like, I feel like if I, I value that and I respect just that alone.
Yeah.
To a point where it's like, hey, just because our love relationship ended.
Yeah.
There's no need for like complete human to human like end. Especially nowadays when it's so easy just to follow someone on social media and keep track like of what their life is like. I mean, you're gonna do most exes do it anyway, but they just do it secretly.
Sure.
Why not do it like kanyang in a very upfront way?
Is it not hard for you to move on though if you're constantly being reminded of them?
I think if you have a bad breakup and both parties were not at the same page.
Yeah.
When you broke up. One, there was a miscommunication, obviously.
Yeah.
The other person didn't see it coming at all and just hit with like that news.
So what if you're like
they're hurt?
What if your future girlfriend was like, oh, I don't like it that you're friends with your ex?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I'll be like, I'll explain her my reasoning, and if she still doesn't respect my point of view, and she just thinks I'm out to like, oh, have a future fling with this, with the ex, that's a huge, that would be a huge turn off for me.
Oh, yeah. Interesting. Wait, what about for you, John?
Yeah, I see Jason's point there. I think there could be a level of doubt given your history with this person.
Mm-hmm.
So I can definitely understand where the girlfriend would be coming from.
Mm-hmm.
But even after a conversation where, if you're not willing to let that go, I think, I think though that if that means so much to her, and that's something that I could let go, like cutting social media contact, I could consider it. But if it's to a point, if she's approaching me like, no, like
I don't trust,
block this, because I've seen some girls do that to my friends.
Yeah,
and I'm like, dude, like she's that's very invasive in your life. No, like she doesn't even want you to talk to your current friends.
Yeah.
I think there's a fine line between like her like demanding things and her being like, hey, I'm actually, you know, it makes me feel uncomfortable.
Yeah, right. I think it's all about how you approach the situation or how you approach the conversation.
Right.
Because I agree. I don't think I wouldn't like it either if my boyfriend ever said like, I don't want you talking to this person. I don't want you like, I don't like that you're friends with this person. I'd be like, dude, what the heck? Like, I've been this.
Right.
Like, we've been friends longer than we've been dating. Yeah, yeah. Like, you have no right to say that. You don't know them. But I think if you're given a very legitimate reason to, then you should definitely hear them out and respect that they feel the way they feel. Because like if there is a reason, maybe like you, like for example, you guys have history or this girl has liked you for some time, like the girl has a right to feel uncomfortable that you guys are still in each other's lives, like you guys are hanging out. Like I think as a girl, maybe just be like, oh, it doesn't make me comfortable if you guys hang out one-on-one because XYZ, because she, you know, she's done this in the past.
Yeah.
Then it's like, okay, then we won't. We'll just, you know, it'll be group settings.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, yeah, you can compromise. It doesn't have to be cut them out.
And I think it's about honesty, too. It's like,
yeah,
if you know that that other person, that other girl, whatever in your life, if you know that she still has feelings for you and you're not honest to your partner,
true.
And like, it's okay if I hang out with her, whatever.
Sure.
Then you're being deceitful.
Oh, that yeah, that's just being shady.
Yeah,
then. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Has that ever happened to you guys? Where you had to like cut, where like a girl was like, dude, you need to cut this person out.
No, I've never met someone like that.
Hopefully. Yeah, I fortunately I didn't have that either.
Even when you were younger, like high school?
Well, I'm a late bloomer, so I don't have much experience when
same.
I was younger.
Same.
Yeah.
I like, this reminded me kind of like, this is the, I had the opposite thing happen. In that, like, I trusted my girlfriend, because this is kind of like a, this is a trust issue,
trust
right?
It, yeah.
And I trusted my ex 100%, no doubt. And I never really thought that that could be a problem itself. Only when she went to a trip in Spain, she went by herself. And then she was hanging out with this like tour group. There were like three or four Korean guys. And she texted me, she's like, hey, is it okay if I go out to drink with them?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, of course. And then she's like, wait, really? And I was like, of course. Have a good time. You're on vacation. And then she's like, wait, we're going to drink. She's like, are you sure we're okay? I was like, yeah. Like, why would I say no to that? She was basically being like later she
cares. She wants you to care.
Later she was like, hey, like I, you know, like that's not, that, you don't know what's gonna happen there. Like you should know as a guy. Like she wasn't lecturing me, but she was like, that kind of stuff you should be more aware of. You know, like if you are
right.
I was like, oh my god, like I never thought I would be chastised for like giving you my 100% trust. But I don't know, maybe that's,
that reminds me of the TikTok video. Did you guys ever see it where the girl is like, babe, I'm gonna go out, or like I'm gonna go clubbing, and he's like, okay, cool. And she's like, There's gonna be guys there, or like something. And he's like, all right. And he's like, I'm gonna be out late. And she's like, all right, I'm gonna be sleeping.
How are you about that? Do you care? Is it important to care, even if you don't?
I give a lot of my trust. If there's no reason for me to, like, unless you give me a reason to not trust you, I'll probably trust you.
Yeah. I mean, I know what else I'm supposed to do now. I'm supposed to be like, oh, like, make sure you text me when you're... be careful. Stay...
You know, but what you did is actually the best move. Because let's say you're being more, like, needy and being insecure about yourself. Like, that has... I think that actually has an opposite effect.
That's what I thought, too. But I think her point was she wanted me to be like...
You know why I say that?
Yeah.
Because my ex... I was being insecure.
Yeah.
Oh, you did that for her.
And then she actually did end up hooking up with another guy. Like, just kiss. But not like...
but still.
But still. But I feel that, like, that's... If I was just, like, nonchalant...
That's cheating.
Yeah, but I felt like... I feel like if I was more nonchalant, more secure about myself...
She wouldn't have done that?
Really?
No.
I don't think that has to do with it.
But my bigger point is that... during the whole relationship, I was not being the kind of confident guy.
Mm.
And then that was just a symptom. Like, me being insecure, like, oh, but she's...
Dude, I don't think you can blame yourself for that, man.
Yeah.
No, but I do think that, like, a guy who's more confident and assured in a relationship is much more attractive to a girl.
I mean, that's the same case for... Yeah, no, I agree.
Yeah.
But I don't think that was the reason why she did what she did.
Yeah. But it's, like, more of a... like, reflection on my end. It's like, oh, I didn't have to be, like, that insecure. Like, she's gonna cheat. Mm. She's gonna cheat. But I feel like, if anything, that sort of insecure mentality that I had actually made her see her, like...
You less of a man?
Yeah, less.
So then, as guys, what do you guys think about girls who are very jealous?
I think in the same way that if I put myself in her... I don't know.
What's the right way to approach it?
Jealousy? Mm. Jealousy. Hmm.
Girls who are jealous.
I think both men and women need validation in the relationship. There needs to be... The love languages need to be addressed, right?
Mm.
If even after doing those sufficiently, she's still uncertain, then maybe it's something that I'm doing wrong. One, it could be something that I'm doing wrong to not give her that sort of certainty.
Mm-hmm.
But two, even after you've done all your part and she's still jealous, I'm not sure. I'm not sure if that's a relationship that's going...
So you're talking about in the context of relationship, like, girls being jealous of another girl, like, in the vicinity of the guy.
Yes. Or it could be anything too. Maybe you're spending too much time with the guys, or, like, you're not prioritizing her enough. Or it could be honestly anything.
But,
yeah.
But what if he like get caught, like, on the side, like...
Well, that's cheating, dude. That's
talking. Cheating. No, not cheating, but talking, like, in a flirtatious way. That would change your mind a little bit, no?
How flirty? Like, is that just their personality, or are they, like, flirting?
It could be either or.
I think I would, if it was, like, full-on flirting, I would bring it up, but not so much, like, dude, why are we flirting with her? It would be more, like, I think I would bring it up more lightly, and just so that the conversation can start, so that he's aware. But I wouldn't, like...
I confront.
Yeah, I don't think I would confront about that, because I would first want to know that he knows he was being flirty. Because sometimes guys don't know.
Oh, dang. Dude, yeah. She has so much depth, man. Wait, this is so refreshing to hear.
No, but I don't think guys sometimes know they're being flirty. Right, Girls take it as like, oh, I think he's flirting with me. Uh-huh, but, yeah.
Oh, that's
so...
That's
I would so bring smart. It up just so he knows. And then if he does it again, then I'll be like, okay, now like going out of your way to
flirt. That is so true.
Then we can like actually seriously talk about it.
Yeah, because some people just have so much like energy.
Yeah, or they're just like so friendly.
Charisma. Mm-hmm. It seems like they're flirting with opposite gender. Just by their nature of conversation.
Yeah, I agree. Some people are just very good at talking, and it could come off as flirting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even though there's absolutely no intention.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, but subconsciously, those interactions actually do build attraction, though. And things can go down like that.
You think?
Wait, hold on. Let's keep it going. Jason, you're going all over the place. Let's end it on
that. I'm being a realist and the devil's advocate here.
Now he's saying...
Jason, go to the bathroom.
Subconsciously, there is actual attraction. It just you don't know that it existed.
Let's make a separate episode for this. Wait,
Inception.
I think if Esther's listeners are are listening intently on like a takeaway from this, uh-huh. it's that you were spot on with that. You were spot on. If there's a level, if there's a jealousy or an uncertainty, and you feel like you have a right to say something, it's your man. It's the person that means so much to you. Don't go out and attack him. Yeah. He might not even know what he's doing. Yeah. Right? One. And then if you do attack him, conversely, he's going to defend himself. And then there's like this whole war, and then people are playing this Nunchi game, right? So the first thing, what we would appreciate as men, because a lot of times we're oblivious to things that should be obvious, very obvious to women. Mm-hmm. So if my girl's like, do you know what you did? Then we know what we did.
Wait, what did we do?
Then we probably did something wrong.
You're like going through your file and kind of, what did I do?
Yeah. oh crap, we did something. And then from there can be a conversation. Mm. But I think, and then the takeaway from our side is being jealous without any sort of explanation, or being insecure and being like jealous over the fact that I'm spending my time doing something else, mm-hmm. is in most cases unattractive and can have the opposite intended effect on most guys, right? I think the girls can relate to that. If a guy's like, no, you can't go clubbing girls' night out, with just because he wants to exert his authority, that's messed up.
That's 21st century. Not attractive
unfortunately there are some relationships that I see my friends are in, and these are like some bros that I used to go clubbing and partying with, and I can't hang out, bro. My girl told me I gotta stay in with her. Why can't just ask? I can't ask her, bro. I went out a couple weeks ago, and like I can't. I don't think I can.
So you see that, and you're like, okay, I don't want to be in a relationship like that.
In a relationship like that, but I think also it's the guy's fault for not.
Right.
It's not. I mean, you can't blame the girl.
It's probably like the way he was raised. Like once she was kind of.
You have to give up everything.
You have to give up everything and like be sacrificial, even though internally you might feel like this grudge or like.
No, but I mean, going back to what we were talking about earlier, like I had to learn it the hard way not to point fingers at someone, because like you said, the minute you blame, like there's this blame shifting game going on, and everyone's walls go up. Once you're defensive, that's how like fights start. That's how like every single fight started in my past relationships. Is someone started pointing the finger first, and it's like, as soon as you feel kind of attacked in any way, that's when you're like, oh shoot, like, okay, then I'm gonna play like defensive, and I'm gonna start calling you out on things that you did, like. All right, now we're talking about things that isn't what happened, but now we're talking about like a million other things, and it turns into a full-blown fight.
Well, you didn't take out the garbage yesterday.
Yeah, exactly.
You're trash.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and I think talking about it with friends helps, mm-hmm. because when you're so emotionally fueled, you can't think logically. Yeah, so what I do is, I'll like vent about it to my girlfriends first, and they'll be like, dude, you need to like relax, like breathe.
Yeah,
and,
you
know, try to see it from this way, maybe he feels like this, and it's like, oh, actually you're right. And then
exactly
I look back on some of my like early like high school college dating times, and oh my god, I was like the crazy girlfriend.
I'll admit it
in what ways?
So irrational, like nitpicking everything. I'm just like, dude, why are you getting upset about that? I'm just like, if I saw myself, I'd be like, oh my god, I'll talk some sense into my like, younger self. But it's like you grow and you learn.
You know how you address that?
What?
Listen to podcasts.
Exactly. Like this one. Like this one.
And learn from other people's experiences.
True, true.
That's true.
That's the best way to learn without going through like the heartaches of your own. I mean, you're gonna go through a set of your own mistakes, but smartest people in the world
listen to podcasts.
They listen to other people who've been through what they want to aspire to be, and then they learn that way. Guys, stay tuned
on the floor.
For what? Every single episode,
all the mistakes that Esther has made in her
my life, broadcasting it to the world. Yeah. Everyone, don't make the same mistakes I did.
Top 1,000 mistakes.
And tune into their YouTube, J-Bros.
Exactly.
What not to do in relationships.
Exactly. Still single in 30s. That's the lesson that we're showing you.
The costly lesson.
The costly lesson.
Single AF.
Oh yes.
So, there we go.
Okay, well, I guess we will wrap up for today's episode then. It was great having you guys on here. Thanks, guys, for coming.
Yep, thanks for having us.
Yeah, a happy new year again.
Happy new year, yeah.
I know.
Happy new year, everyone.
Yeah, 2021.
Every single episode, share it with your friends. do what you gotta do. Let's make it happen.
Thanks, man. but yeah, if you guys want to find more of John and Jason, you can find them on YouTube and Instagram. Can you guys share your handles?
My Instagram is jason.j.ki. J-A-S-O-N period J period K-I.
Mine's dr.johnyoo. Dr.johnyoo.
And I'll also link it in the description so you guys can find that there. And yeah, we will tune in again next week.
All right.
Bye.
Adios. Bye.